Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thugging like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
Yo, yo, check this out. This is your girl, Cola Boke, and I'm chilling with my boys right here on Off the Cuff Radio. We off the cuff right now. You dig?
What's up? It's your boy Lil Yappa, UNLV, ragging up from the river, cooling with my homies and my family at Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all be sure to tune in on Fridays and get the latest scoop and find out what's happening. You wait me?
Tiffany Levine.
And it's Queen Crazy, your girl's favorite bartender.
And we're from
Sex on the Rocks Podcast.
Alright, you're now tuning in to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, because they keep representing that world hip hop. Well, much love.
Alright.
Love y'all. This is Miss Irresistible, and you're listening to Off the Cuff Giving a shout out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey y'all, this is Stacey Lachey giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio.
What's shaking, y'all? This is the Grand, one half of Lost Cause and one third of that Drive Time thing. Sending my love to the homies over at Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in every Friday night for some real deal hip hop conversation. These dudes are the connoisseurs of this thing. You already know what it is. BX stand up, Hud City was shaking. Peace.
Yo, this is Joe Fresh Design, and y'all tuned in to the most raw, uncut show on radio, the Guillotine Team, Off the Cuff, and yo, Eric Sandman, off of these clowns.
And who would have thought? We are now at episode 341 of Off the Cuff Radio, the live and direct most hip hop show on the web. Sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, sponsored by Screwball Radio, Dirty Basement. We got a full coalition here. And I wanted to do a special show tonight for a special reason, because this woman right here is very empowering. It's a special show, y'all. This woman here is a true go-getter, someone who I would consider very inspirational, intelligent, evolving, and she's only getting better, and you can see the growth and development within every day that she takes. So without further ado, let's all welcome model, fitness instructor, entrepreneur, motivator, Ms. Fayetteville, formerly known as Tiara Faju. Let's go, man. Hold on one second. Let me get this line on. Come on, come on. I think
can you
hear on.
Me?
Yes. Welcome to Off the Cuff Radio. How you doing?
I'm good. Yo, that was a lit introduction. I've never been introduced that good before.
I appreciate it. I had to soak it up real nice, roll that red carpet around a little bit.
Yes, I love it. I'm excited to be on here.
Definitely. We normally do Friday nights and Sunday nights, but you know, we had to sometimes make things a little bit flexible and make this night your night. This is about you and what you got going on.
Amen. I am excited to share, and honestly, I'm just hoping whoever listening, I could say something that's going to move somebody, inspire somebody. That's what it's all about at the end of the day, period.
Yes, indeed, y'all. So if anybody want to call up, you know, give a shout out, give us donations or whatever, the call number is 516-531-9596. So without further ado, the floor is yours. Tell us about yourself. And give the world a
sure.
Full introduction of who you are.
Okay, bet. Well, hey, everybody that's tuning in. My name is Tiara Faju. And honestly, again, it's an honor to be on here because Off the Cuff Radio, like, it's crazy. But I'm 25 years old. I am a single mom of a four-year-old. She just turned four, and I am a full-time entrepreneur. I have a skincare business called Facialty that I've had for a year now. I just launched my modeling brand called Fajo Modeling. I've been modeling since I was a teen. And I love working out, like he was saying. I love working out. I always post my workout vids and stuff. A lot of people ask me about that. I need to get certified, like, for real, if we're really talking. But God put me on here to motivate and to inspire. I know it's a part of my calling. So that's why I'm really excited to talk to y'all tonight, because I'm hoping you ask me some juicy stuff when I could just share, you know, some knowledge. That's it.
Yeah, and you know what? I caught that because you told, look, well, you need to get that blue check mark. They need to make an exception for that, because they're saying that if you need a blue check mark, you need to have at least 10,000 followers. But you were influencers, so that's like they need to bend the rules a little bit.
I need to figure out how to get 10,000 followers, because honestly, I feel like I should have 10,000 followers. I'm going to figure it out, though. For real.
Yeah, we're gonna get to the meat and potatoes of that anyway. It's just a matter of figuring out the loophole, because everything is a loophole, especially when you're in the tech business, especially when you're making that journey of entrepreneurship. Like, what was your calling, or maybe you wanted to take that route one day?
Shoot, as soon as I found out what it was. And this about how big it is for America. Like, if you live in the United States of America, you got to own something, because we have the ability to own something. Other countries, you can't. You have an opportunity to be a millionaire. You have an opportunity to pass something down to your kids. There's other places and people that can't do that. So when I figured out the whole education part behind it, being an entrepreneur, and the type of different money that you can make in this country legally, we ain't gonna get to illegally. I knew that I needed to hop on the wave, period. So, yeah, that's why I decided to be an entrepreneur, because I want to create generational wealth. I'm trying to live my best life.
Yeah, and plus, well, you know, with the way this world is moving right now, it's forcing people, if anything, to take on entrepreneurship. Because, you know, these jobs are, you know, are just, you know, getting crushed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, times are changing. You know, we don't live in the industrial age no more, where everybody had a job and that was the way to make it, and you could retire at a certain age, blah, blah, blah. We're in the information age now, and the internet is the move. And the internet is replacing, as you can see, a lot of jobs and things like that. So you gotta keep up with time. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of things, like, we're still stuck with our education system is still stuck in those times where they teach us that type of stuff. Like, just get a job and you're gonna make it. Like, no, baby, times have changed. You gotta create something for yourself. That's why Forex is popping so much, because that's what they're teaching is, you know, generational wealth and stuff like that, investing into yourself.
And you know, there's an old slogan that they use these days, and not only with modern technology, but just the way the world is moving now. It's called adapt or die. We even see it in the music business.
I like that.
If you either adapt or you just get swallowed. And you know, with the way the music business is changing, because, you know, we're involved in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is going pretty much digital.
Mm-hmm. Right, absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm, so that whole adapt, you got to adapt to all different. You got to be basically like a chameleon.
Yes. And you got to be careful who you listen to, because your parents might mean you well, your grandparents might mean you well, but you got to understand where they come from and what they learned was a whole different time and generation. So if they trying to preach to you some old stuff that don't adapt or, you know, fits into where we're at right now, you got to be able to recognize that immediately and listen to people that's where you want to be, you know, or that knows what they're talking about, or that your generation and they there, because they understand, you know. I mean, these generations that's younger than us, they got it more down packed than us, because they're into it more, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's also a fact that they're not they're not afraid of looking dumb, because sometimes the older generation, they have, like what I have a call, they have that pride issue. Like, they don't want to look like they're behind the game, and, you know, they don't want to look dumb. But at the same time, it's better to, you know, jump into those waters. You got to take, you gotta jump in those waters and swim.
Absolutely. Be willing to take risks. Be willing to look dumb.
Now, let me ask you this, too, about risk-taking. Now, let's see.
Yeah.
Do you think that plays a role why a lot of people are afraid of entrepreneurship?
Of course. I mean, the stats, let alone, will tell you. I remember reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That was the first book that put me on to reading. And it, most people have read that book, so you gonna understand what I'm saying. But the cash flow quadrant, 95% of this country is employed. They're working for somebody else, or they're just self-employed, or they're employed. You know what I'm saying? They got to work for their money. But 95% of the money and the people got money working for them. So that's like, think of all the people that you know. That's almost either everybody you know or almost everybody you know that's just working for a job. You're going to do the common. You're going to do what the masses are doing until you know otherwise, and you have to be willing to take that risk, you know? So it's unfamiliar, really, unless you grew up into it. I know I didn't.
And not to mention the fact that it could be scary in a way, because you're taking your own money. You're taking your own, you take your own life at hands, and you just rolling the dice. But then again, complacency is the worst thing.
Yes, the worst thing. The worst thing. What Future say? Don't get too comfortable. He said, don't get too comfortable.
I'm telling you, you know what? I'm gonna tell you something. Uncle told me this. He said that comfortability can lead to poverty.
Say it again.
He said, he told me one day, he said, don't ever get too comfortable, because comfortability can lead to poverty. And a lot of people, a lot of people were, a lot of people get too relaxed and comfortable in a situation, and then it could just, they could just lose everything just off a bad, either a bad investment or just, you know, being too caught up in their own situation and not trying to evolve, because the world is changing every day.
It has to be a balance in between celebrating your little wins and also staying uncomfortable, because you could be uncomfortable to the point where you never recognize your accomplishments and you're always never satisfied or happy. I feel like it's important to be satisfied and to be grateful, but never get comfortable, like you said. Never get comfortable, because if you're not growing, you're going backwards. There's no being stagnant. There's no such thing. If you ain't growing, you're going backwards. That's how I look
at it. That's a fact, y'all. Yeah, we 13 minutes in, and we giving y'all a lot of motivational gems right here, man. I'm like, look, we might have to do a pay-per-view. We giving y'all motivational gems at the first 13 minutes of the show, so I might have to do a pay-per-view special charging y'all $49.99.
Make sure I get my cut now.
Oh, you know I got you. You know I got you. But, you know, but going back to you, because, you know, this where the show is all about you. So where are you originally from?
I'm from the Ville. I'm from the Ville, Fayetteville, North Carolina. J. Cole said it best. We got to put Ville back on the map. I'm born and raised here, so, yep.
Now tell the masses about Fayetteville, like, because a lot of people don't realize that Fayetteville actually have a culture, because they thinking that Fayetteville is just an army base, segregated state, you know, city from the Carolinas, but it has a culture there.
Yeah. Yep. I'm gonna tell you what's dope about Fayetteville, because of Fort Bragg. You get people from all over here in this little city. So what does that mean? You get a diversity of people, like from different cultures, different ways of living. So it could be city-like because of that. Now, don't get twisted. you know, this is my home. I love my home. This will always be my home. I'll always talk about it, represent it, do something positive here, blah, blah, blah. But there ain't much to do mm-hmm. here. If you want to do something, you go out of town, things like that. You know, so a lot of people say Fayetteville's boring because of those reasons. But it's dope because of the people. The people make it dope because you got so many different people here with different talents. Like, the Ville gets slept on sometimes. Like, there is such talent in the Ville. Like, it don't make no sense. It don't make no sense. I think a lot of talent comes about the Ville, too. I'm just glad somebody like J. Cole decided to talk about it and represent it, you know? But I forever love
that's
my
a beautiful
city.
Thing.
It's always Yeah,
that's a beautiful thing to see because a lot of people, a lot of talent comes from the Carolinas, but they don't really claim it because North Carolina, for some reason, have still like a stigma about it. But, you know, over the past decade, you start seeing more people coming to North Carolina. You're seeing the city, you're seeing the state being more praised in the mainstream. And you're seeing, like, you know, like you said, J. Cole, he praising it. So it's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing a lot of the talent, like even the baby, he from Charlotte.
Right. Right. North Carolina
so you start,
is really
so you start, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You're starting to see a whole diverse of gumbo.
That's right, though.
All different flavors.
I'll be ready to go out of town, you know what I'm saying? I'll be ready to travel, you know? I'll be ready to get out. It's always going to be home, but I'll be ready to get out, you know? Travel.
Yeah, because sometimes in the Carolinas, because see, the Carolinas, they always was looked upon as a place where people retire. It's like a retirement state. It's not really a rah-rah type state.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what most families do. And then you get people like me that's native here, but the only reason they're here is because their parents. Now, see, my parents are from the city. My dad's from Brooklyn. My mom's from Toronto. So they both from the city. You got two people from the north that settled here, then they had me. So,
all different combinations. And they brought and they birthed a Jew.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like I feel like a mix sometimes, you know. Like I have city somewhere in my spirit, but, you know, I'm a country girl because I'm from the south, I guess, per se.
So
now, if you're talking
what
to somebody
that
from
is,
Atlanta.
That's you adapted. That's you adapted from getting adapted in two different worlds.
Right. Now, if you're talking to someone that's from Atlanta or Louisiana, so they'll be like, oh, nah, she ain't from the South. But Fable, Southern in a way. It's in a way. Especially if you in Lumberton, though.
Yeah. Oh, man, Lumberton is deep country, y'all. For y'all coming into North Carolina, you better bring some ham hocks and some pork.
Saint
and
Paul,
some chitlins, because Lumberton is country.
Yep, Red Springs. We buy all that. So.
Straight up. But that's a beautiful thing seeing North Carolina finally getting his praises. Because, you know, we've been slept on for a long time. We've been slept
on
for a very long time.
Michael Jordan?
Yes, Michael Jordan. We got Michael Jordan coming from here. We had Jodeci, the R&B group, came from here.
I didn't even know that.
See, we learned everything new and off the cuff radio.
Big facts. I love it, though. I love it. I think it's good, though, to move around. So.
You know what's good about Fayetteville? What's good about Fayetteville? Because I saw the flyer that you posted. Is that y'all have the entrepreneur spirit. Like, tell us about that Black Wall Street get down that y'all had out there a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, shout out to Jazz Tat, 360 Wellness, North Carolina. He's a big-time entrepreneur in the Fayetteville area. He's also a North Carolina lobbyist. I'm really thankful to have networked with her and her to give me the opportunity to be a part of that. But that was an opportunity and an event to where you could see all the entrepreneurs locally because we came together, you know, just to represent and pretty much buy the block back. All the stuff that's going on with the police and the racism and all that, wanted to come together, you know, pretty much buy the block back and show that we out here and build our businesses because it starts with us, you know. And Jazz gets all the praise for that. I was just lucky to be a part of it, to know people, to network, things like that.
And that's a beautiful thing to see, because, you know, you're seeing people within our era and our generation is just unifying and, you know, building together, because that's what it's all about. Because you can't have nothing without unity.
And that's the thing. Stuff like that in Fayetteville happens. You know what I'm saying? Like, stuff, events like that. And if you're a native from here, I think it's just such a big deal. And I think it's such a big deal to be a part. Because there's some people here that complain, like, don't nothing happen here, there ain't nothing to do. And yeah, it's not, when it comes to a partying perspective and stuff like that, there's not, but there's also so much opportunity too that you could take a hold of, events, things like that. I'm trying to get more into, one thing I could tell you, I think I told you about this, Eric, but my nonprofit that I'm working on right now is just an organization called Praise Her. It's an organization that gives back to single mothers and my community. And I had one event where I was able to give back to about 9 single mothers, give them facials, free gifts, get the fellowship, things like that. But when stuff like that happens locally, you know, it gets put out there, but I don't know, some people just lazy. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, that's we got to keep it, we got to keep it blunt and honest. Because, you know, you have the, you have an issue with people with, you know, not only laziness, but also jealousy. The jealousy factor is a heavy thing. That's why I think holds the city back from its real potential growth. Because one of the main goals that even I feel I had, and I feel you probably feel the same way, it's making, like, North Carolina the melting pot where people could have to come in and see us. Like, we ain't got to go out to New York. We ain't got to go out to L.A. or go out to Atlanta. They got to come to us.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we all have the tools and the voices to create that. But, you know, there's a lot of ego involved, especially in Raleigh. It's the worst.
I believe it. Damn, I believe it. Now, Off the Cuff Radio, aren't y'all in Raleigh?
Yes.
Yes. I like Raleigh a lot.
Yes,
a lot of people.
Yes, because Raleigh is actually growing.
Yeah. And people from Fayetteville come to Raleigh when they try to make moves. All types of moves. Business moves, party moves, everything.
Now, what caught my eye today was this, and I actually was about to hit your line before we hit the air when you said you was canceling your Instagram, and I was like, hold up. You got to check in with us first. This is,
right.
You can't just drop out the game like that. You got to check in with us. Now, do you sometimes have them blackout moments where you just want to give all that up?
Yeah, yeah. I knew you was
going to
call me out.
I had to.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about that for sure. I would love to talk about that. We can.
Yeah, definitely. Like what? Like, you know, because sometimes we caught up in a new era where, you know, technology is the move. And it's a beautiful thing because it connects you with a lot of people that think like you. But it also creates a lot of skepticism. Like, what do you feel like the pros and cons of social media today? Especially for women.
Yeah. It's so competitive, and it's so easy to get jealous or to feel like you're not doing enough. And I feel like I got into a place to where I understand this has to be, my social media has to be for two things, and that is it. It is for inspiration, and you could say inspiration, motivation, same category, right? Second thing, business, so promotion. And that's it. I'm not on there to have fun, have a good time, because two reasons. Number one, I ain't got time for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd rather be focused on hitting my dreams and goals. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather be focused. I don't got time to get distracted. Yeah, you make time to have fun, but this is where the second reason comes in. I don't got time. I got to keep my mind right. I don't got time to be getting in my feelings. Or for my natural human emotions to play effect in me being on social media, because I don't care who you is, you can have enough ego to say, oh, I'm fine, I can get on there and blah, blah, blah. If you on there long enough, baby boy, baby girl, you're going to start feeling some type of way. Especially if you're watching people that you know or you grew up with. I'm just keeping it 100 now. You know?
Go ahead.
For me, For me, I wanted to delete it for a second because I wanted to get away. Like, I'm tired of people trying to see what I had going on and then me seeing what y'all got going on. Because sometimes, I'm going to keep it real again, I'm human. Sometimes I feel like I'm not doing enough or I'm not on my P's and Q's. So I want to delete my Instagram for a second to get away. Like, let me not get distracted, not be in my feelings, let me get right. But mm-hmm. I'm one of those types of people, I realize, that God ordains to be used for inspiration, motivation. So I have to have my boundaries with social media. But also, God wants me to use it as a tool to inspire and motivate. So it's about balance. It's about boundaries. It's about try, fail, adjust. But I got to make sure I'm not on there just scrolling because it's not healthy. And it's not going to help me in any way, if that makes sense.
That makes a whole lot of sense because... Now, you also told me that you don't watch a lot of TV. I understand that because the idiot box is full of idiots now. And it's
mm-hmm.
not really enlightening.
Yes. And it's crazy because I just was under the weather, too. And I think that's what put me in my feelings. I'm so used to being on the go and doing so much. So when I got sick, I didn't have corona,
yeah.
Praise God. But I was sick, and, you know, I was on bed rest and stuff. I watched a lot of TV. And
oh,
I
my
never,
God.
I never, ever do that. Yeah, I never do that. And it could be addicting. You got to be careful with that. It was
oh, yeah,
crazy,
especially
though,
when you're going through it a sort of, when you're going through it in a certain day.
Mm-hmm. Well, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's some good stuff out there. I think it's good to every once in a while watch a movie or something if you have the time when it's your free time. I think it's
mm-hmm.
important to schedule that free time, enjoy yourself. You can watch a movie, maybe catch up on a season. But if you're serious about your dreams and goals, if you want to be a millionaire, if you want to make six figures, blah, 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 not be average, you can't be watching TV every day. That's my opinion. You can't. You can't unless you know what? Yeah. Mhm.
And you're right about that. You're right about that because it also depends on what you're watching.
Mhm.
Like if you watching like
that.
stuff that's gonna elevate you and information that you learn about,
like podcasts,
you know, your
podcasts. Yeah.
Mhm.
YouTube, like something
like with me.
What's that?
I wake up in the morning and listen to me first. That's just me.
That's lit. I like that. You listen to you. I like that. I like that.
Yeah, because
you want to know
why
I like
somebody...
that?
Why is that?
Let me tell you why I like that. I like that because you're reminding yourself who you are. Like, you're a king, right? Right?
Yes.
You're a king. And it's easy for the enemy to get in our heads and try to lie to us and tell us who we are not. And it's also easy, disagree or agree, whatever, for us to believe those lies. So by you listening to yourself every day, you're reminding yourself who you are, like who God created you to be, your purpose. And again, like who you are, it's just as simple as that. I like
that. And not to mention it keeps you on your swing because you got to listen, at the end of the day, you your own best judgment.
Mhm. Mhm.
And sometimes I would just listen to shows of myself before I listen to anybody else. So I'm like, look, I got to tune into me first.
Mhm.
Then I see whatever somebody else is talking about, so I can see what I can improve on and what angles I can take to make things into my own style. Because when you're doing your own thing, it's about finding your own voice as well. You don't want to make it like you're copying somebody.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, you
yeah, establishing your own identity
else.
Is the key.
Yeah. Amen. Absolutely.
And
you know what?
And the beautiful thing about this is with what you're doing, now tell us about the fitness journey or makes you want to take that route because you be going hard on the gram, yo. I be like, shit, I can't even... I feel guilty eating this steak. Then I sign on to you, see what you doing. I'm like, yo, I'm about to put the steak down.
Right.
Made me your timeline made me feel guilty.
Oh,
I'm sitting there about to enjoy this steak. I'm about to enjoy
this
steak.
Put that donut down. Put that donut down.
It makes me mad too. Because I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, I'm about to enjoy this steak. Because you know, we ain't had a steak in a while. Then I come in your timeline, you running up and down the steps. I said, damn.
Hey, look, they got protein. They got protein. It's not that bad.
But what made you want to take on that journey?
That's a good question. It's definitely been a journey. That's the key word. I'll sum it up, though. I've been working out for about 2 to 3 years consistently, like without stopping, since this year, January, beginning of this year. I worked out every single week, at least 1 to 2 times since January, every week. It became a habit. Before that, you know, it was on and off. But I started my journey with my trainer. It's been a year now, as of September, I believe. And my biggest key element was accountability. I think accountability is the answer. Some people are built different to where maybe it's something else. It's a discipline issue, whatever the case may be. But for me, accountability. Somebody's counting on you to show up. You gonna show up. You might not show up for yourself, but you know, old boy, old girl, whatever is showing up, oh, yeah, you're going to show up. And once you keep showing up, it becomes a habit to where if you don't show up, you don't feel right. You don't feel like yourself. You don't feel comfortable. So you want to make it a habit. They say it takes 21 days for something to become a habit. So, you know, stay consistent as long as you can to where it don't feel right unless you do it. So for me, working out changed my entire life because it helped me overcome things. I learned things about myself that I didn't know until I started working out because my trainer taught me how to overcome some limitations I had in my mind. Because once you get to that place where you working out and you about to cry and you still keep going anyway, you just crossed the barrier. You overcame a limitation. You know what I'm saying? So you just found out a new part of yourself because the mind is stronger than the body. The body's going to do what the mind tells you to do. Your body might be crying and aching, but if you keep going anyways, you're going to break some barriers, you know? So that's why I love it.
And in most cases, the beginning stages I hear be the roughest. Because, you know, you're going into the ring.
Yeah, it's not made for the weak. And I don't mean weak physically. I mean weak mentally. But anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. I'll say that again. Anybody can do it. You just have to want it bad enough. You know, you have to want it bad enough. And that accountability is the icing on the cake. For anybody that's listening, you're serious about working out. You're serious about starting a business. You're serious about a relationship. You're serious about anything. Get accountability in your life and the game is over for it. And that's me speaking to myself, too. Anything I want to pursue, get some accountability in there. Get somebody that knows your dreams and goals and that's where in life where you want to be at. Then, you know what I'm saying? They can hold you accountable. I think accountability is one of the greatest things ever, really.
And you know, one of the biggest challenges is finding people that's going to be honest with you. Because
yeah, I agree.
We live in such a camouflage era where you have people that you think they're for you, but they're really not for you. They're rooting against you. And sometimes you don't find out till it's too late.
I agree, but I also want to add something to that, if that's okay.
Let's go ahead.
Yeah, I think a part of it is your environment. Like, if that's the case, the only people that's around you is people that, you know, if there's nobody around you that's like, how can I say it? So, no, you know where you're at. If you're the smartest person in the room, there's a problem, right? And if you know that every environment you're going, everybody is lower than you. And, you know, I'm not better than nobody. But at the same time, I'm going to surround myself around people that are in life where I want to be at. They got more money than me, maybe, or they're winning, and maybe this girl is more fit than me. I don't want to be around a whole bunch of, like, you know, I got nothing against fat people. Don't get it twisted. I have, you know, some friends that ain't that worried about fitness, but I can't be around those type of people all the time, because guess what's going to start happening? I'm going to start getting out of shape, because I'm going to be around people who have different habits. You know what I'm saying? People that have habits that I don't need. So what I'm saying is your environment is everything. You need to get out of your comfort zone and get in some environments where you could find some people like that, if that makes sense. So, yeah, I think,
you're right. Now, that comfort zone is something else, man, because the comfort zone has hindered a lot of people's potential.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of great men and there's a lot of great women that have potential to possibly be the next big thing or the next big podcast or the next fitness instructor, but they let their, not only their comfortability, but their lack of confidence shake them. So with you, how do you maintain that confidence? Because I know how it's very challenging as a woman dealing with these sharks in this world.
So repeat the question for me one more time, because I want to make sure I answer it correctly.
Yeah, I'm afraid it's different. So with you being a woman, and you know, you told me that, you know, you stay confident, you stay confidently sharp, but you know, in this world, it could break your confidence easy. It could be through social media, it could be through competition on your job or your job title. Like, how you maintain that confidence for those who are struggling to maintain, to get that confidence? For any listener out there that's struggling with confidence right now.
That's a good question. Not to get off subject, because I'm not. I promise I'm staying on point when I say this.
Go ahead.
I got saved when I was 18 years old. I found out who, you know, my Lord and Savior is and everything when I was 18. And before then, I met my mentors. I have mentors in my life. And one thing she complimented me on while I was 17, or I had just turned 18, whatever, yeah, you're very confident. And I'm like, I'm thinking in my head, like, what? Like, what does that mean? Like, I am? For real? I never even thought of myself like that. So it was kind of, I guess, naturally already in me. It came out that way, but internally I wasn't. Like, it wasn't in me. Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't think. I thought about the things that, my insecurities, if that makes sense. But after I got saved and I started to learn who my God is and what his word says, I'm beautifully and wonderfully made. Like, praise her. Proverbs 31:31, praise her at the gate. Like, I am beautifully and wonderfully made. Like, God made me perfect. He thinks I'm fine just the way I am. Like, you get what I'm saying? He made me, uniquely me. And I think that's really important when you think about your body, too, us women. Oh, this is a whole nother topic. I'm trying not to get into it, Eric.
Oh, go ahead. You good. The flow is yours tonight.
People this day and age, everybody want to get their body done. Like, and I'm trying not to touch on it because I still get tempted because I want my body to look a certain way. And I've really made my body look a certain way through working out. And the crazy thing is you can make your body really any way you want to through working out to a certain extent. The booty, the abs, everything, like the guns, the muscles, you know, which is crazy. But we're so impatient. We're in this, I said this in my interview earlier today, we are in a microwave society where we want everything right now versus waiting and being patient and digging for it. You know what I'm saying? Because I said that life is a crock pot. It is. You know, and us women, we start comparing ourselves and like, dang, like I ain't got that booty. I ain't got that chest. I ain't got them hips and curves. Let me go ahead and get it done real quick. Let me go ahead and do this, do that. And I ain't even gonna lie. I'm in that generation and I'm around these women and I have gotten tempted to want to get my butt done. But then I remember the calling that God put on my life and who he says I am and how I'm fine just the way I am. And how if I really want my body to be better, I can really do that in the gym. I can really do that through my diet. And that by me doing it that way, I'm inspiring women to do the same thing versus I know if I got my butt done, I already know I'm going to inspire some people to do the same thing. I already know that. But that's not good, though. I'm not going to really feel too proud about that. That's just me, though. I'm not judging nobody else. I promise I'm not. But me personally, like, no matter how tempted I am to get my butt done, nah, I'm going to go ahead and do with however many squats and donkey kicks and, you know what I'm saying? And I hope I didn't get too off topic, but the answer to your question was my confidence. My confidence comes from
God,
really.
Because it correlates to what we were talking about, because people today, because like you said, we live in a microwave society, and they find validation in the wrong things. Like, you know how when they get the like button, that's like the new drug right now. That's like the new morphine right there.
And I know I just pissed somebody off, but I'm just going to keep it 100. If I pissed you off, I'm sorry. It is what it is. I'm not
judging.
Hey, it's off
Cuff Radio. It's all on us.
It is what it is. Like, I have friends who've gotten their body done, and I'm not judging them, and I'm happy for them, and they look good. If they're happy, I'm happy, you know. It's just me personally, Tierra Fajo, I can't do it because I know the calling God has on my life, and if I do that, I'm basically saying, you go do it too. And I ain't going to feel good about that because I feel like God want me to inspire people to do it through fitness, you know, or whatever the case may be. So that's how I look at it for me. That's it. You got to make it
what's a beautiful thing is that you're not secretive with your faith. Because, you know, in the entertainment business and, you know, with business in general and just the world period, they're very suppressive with their faith. They're not really willing to put their, you know, belief system out there out of fear of being chastised. But you let it be known, like, look, that's my religion. That's what I'm great. That's what I'm raised in. That's what made me who I am. I admire that.
Thank you. For me, and that's the thing, too, Eric, it's not about the book. Like, okay, let me rephrase that. It's not about going by the rules, like religious. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, God says don't do this, so don't do. It's not that. It's a relationship thing. It's a relationship and knowing your calling, knowing your purpose. And by having that relationship, God will reveal it to you. Period. Especially through your journey. So with all that being said, and then here's the thing, too. I'm not perfect at all. I cuss sometimes, you know what I'm saying? I might twerk a little here and there. I'm not perfect. So don't try to look at me like this big old religious person. I just have a good relationship with God. That's it. And I know what he wants for me. And I'd rather keep moving forward than backward. That's it. So, you know, and it's hard for me to hide that. Like, how can you hide that? How can you hide that? Like, if that's who you are, like, for me, I am nobody without God. Like, I am nothing. Nothing at all. So how can I hide that? I don't see how people hide that, you know? Maybe they're looking at it in a religious perspective then, because me personally, I'm not.
Right.
I'm looking at it as a spiritual, personal relationship type thing. Like, this is what it is. So if you don't like it, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
You know? It is what it is.
And I think, it's a rare thing because, see, if people find that intuition in their spirituality, it could take them far because it gave their life a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
People find purposes in the wrong things, and a lot of times, like, the car ain't going to really make you feel fulfilled. The house ain't going to make you feel fulfilled because everybody, when they get that, you're going to have the, oh, I got that. What's next? Oh, I got that. What's next? Oh, I got this. What's next?
Yep.
Because, you know, there's some game I learned, too. Like, you know, there's a lot of people that have millions, but they're morally bankrupt.
Yeah. Big facts. Big facts. Somebody that was my mentor, like deep down the line, something he would say is, I wish I could say it exactly how he did, but it was something like, success is not a destination, it's a journey, it's who you become through the journey. That's, happiness, happiness is found in the journey to success. And it's not exactly how he said it, but that's basically what he said. So you find happiness in the pursuit of a goal or dream. When you're in the pursuit, you're in the journey, like you're going towards it. So if you think you're going to find happiness when you hit this level, you think you're going to find happiness when you get this object, this materialistic thing, or when you hit this level, nah, bruh, it's going to be through the journey, because now God is molding you into who you need to be to receive that, and that's where the happiness truly comes from. I was telling my friend just before this interview, he was like, I don't set goals. He said he don't set goals. He just, and this is a, you know, someone I admire, successful person, to each his own, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, he'll aim for stuff. He'll have the vision, and he'll just work towards it. And he don't care if he hits it, for example, in 2 months or a year. It's just going to happen. And I'm like, that's dope. That's cool. But if I could share something with you, something my mentors told me was that it's not about, when you set goals, it's not about reaching the goal. It's more so about who you become in the pursuit of reaching the goal. Because if I set a goal in 2 months to have abs, and I don't get my abs, but guess what? I got so much closer to having them abs because there was an urgency put on it. And I looked at that goal every day. I thought about it, and I worked towards it. So I'm so much more closer than I was if I wouldn't have made that goal. So people get scared and fearful to be discouraged for not hitting the goals. That's why they don't set them. So baby boy, baby girl, it's not just about hitting that goal. It's about getting closer and closer to hitting it. And I'm not saying have the expectancy that you ain't going to hit it. Yes, you could probably hit that ab goal in 2 months. But if you don't feel like the world just ended. You just got so much closer, if that makes sense, you know?
Makes a whole lot of sense, because that could correlate into a lot of aptitudes of life. Just like, for example, look at when a lot of these teams in the sports world, when they win their championship, they ain't crying because they win it. They crying because they thinking of the journey that they had to do, the sacrifices, time that they had to leave. They had to leave their home, they loved ones, the sleepless nights.
The hard work. Yes, that's good. Yeah,
Those are tears of reflection of that grind, especially when they win that first championship. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You see that, but it's that abundance of joy knowing that their hard work make you reach that impeccable level.
Yeah, absolutely. And the first thing I think about is lottery. Like, you know, they say over 90% of lottery winners go bankrupt, and that's because they didn't work hard for what they just won. It was automatically given to them, and they didn't have no sense of how to handle money in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't work hard to figure it out. They didn't work hard to keep it or know how to handle it or anything. They just received that money. And of course they're going to just freaking splurge it and it be gone, because there was no hard work involved. One last quick thing too, because Eric, once you get me going, I can't stop. So I'm gonna say,
go ahead and flow. Go ahead. We flowing right here.
One of my mentors used to be like, "Would you wash if you rented a car, would you wash it? Like, if you rented a car, would you wash it? Would you take care of it? Would you get it detailed?" Like, I'm pretty sure you're going to say no. But if you buy a car, yes, you're going to get it washed. You're going to take care of it. You're going to, because why? Because you own it. Because it's yours. That's something that maybe you so-called worked hard for. Or that's something you own. It's yours. You take value in it. Versus renting it or something that's just handed to you. You know what I'm saying? You're going, and that's the sad thing about our generation, bro. That's the sad thing. And it starts in the home.
Hand-me-down.
Everything starts in the home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, it looks like, you look at it like, too, like, you know, you're going on a generation gap. It created an atmosphere where second-place trophies is out there for people now. Because it used to be first and nothing else. I grew up where even you got second place, you felt bad. Now you're getting trophies just for being second and third place. I'm like, hold up, nah, I can't take that. Don't hand me down. I want to be the number one. So that, to me, that's what killed the drive for a lot of people in society. It created the complicity mindset now. Because it's like, oh, I'm still going to get my reward anyway for being second place. Why work hard?
Yeah, they're missing the point.
Yeah.
They're missing the point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I did the pageant, my mindset was at least top six, bro. At least top six. Like, what am I doing this for if I don't plan on winning? If I don't plan on placing, you know? You got to have that mindset. Especially, I don't see how you can't have that mindset with all the money it takes. Why invest all that money if you don't plan on winning? But that's a whole other story.
The way I was looking at it with this pageant here, because I want to get a little bit of this. Now, tell people what goes on behind the scenes with these pageants. The hard work, all that stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely hard work. If you ain't put hard work in, shame on you. And I hope you don't win if you didn't put hard work in, because that's just crazy. But no, it takes hard work. It takes dedication. It takes a mindset. Ooh, I definitely want to talk about that. But just so you know, FYI, everybody, this was my first pageant. You know, I've never done pageants ever in my life. But I felt worthy not only because I was asked to do it, but also because I model. I do motivational speaking, and I do positive things in my community, so I automatically felt like I would fit in, which I did, and I'll talk about that. But what goes on behind the scenes is, number one, why do you want to be Miss North Carolina, or whatever the title may be, right? For me, it was Miss North Carolina. And I was thinking in my mind, I decided I was going to do the pageant because she asked me, and I finally decided, okay, let me do it, because this is going to give me more clout. It's going to look good on my resume. It's going to be a good experience. I'm just keeping it G with you. But then I spoke with Miss Jessie Smith, from the winner of Miss North Carolina 2019, and she automatically downloaded the mindset in my mind, and I had to really meditate on it, which was, Miss North Carolina is a role model. Miss North Carolina is somebody who wants to make a change in their community, make a difference. It's somebody who represents. It's a representation. It's a role model. And you dig deep into that. I mean, it's a big deal. And automatically, I had to realize, wow, so I might have to change some things about myself. I might have to really change. This is a lifestyle. This ain't no little fun thing that you win. Yay, I'm Miss North Carolina. Woo. No, this is a lifestyle. So automatically, I had to get that mindset. So that's really important. I think with pageants, you know, you have to download the mindset. There are different types of pageants, by the way. Some of them might be just the glitz and glams, and you want a little title. But some of them are real, and that's what I had just experienced, was a pageant that's really about making a difference and really about the people. It's not just about being cute. You know, or being, crazy. Like, you would think these pageant girls are little snotty, little jealous girls that all hate on each other. You can automatically have that stereotype, because I didn't know what I was getting myself into. But
right.
When I met the ladies, I fitted in right away, because they were all like-minded. We all cared about our community and making a difference, walking into our purpose, being that all-over phenomenal woman. I looked at it like that, being Miss South Carolina. It's that phenomenal woman, Miss or Mrs. Mrs. is even a bigger deal, because you're that phenomenal wife, phenomenal mother if you have kids, and that phenomenal role model. But long story short, after meeting all the ladies and stuff and, you know, doing the competition and the pageant, I won Miss Congeniality 2020, and I didn't even know what that meant at first. But then I learned what it meant. And I felt blessed beyond words can say. Like, I can't even verbally explain it to you, because automatically I felt like I won a respect award. Because before I tell you what it is, some of y'all already know what congeniality and whatever means, but the way you win that award is your peers vote that for you. So there was four different divisions, Miss North Carolina, Miss South Carolina, Mrs. North Carolina, Mrs. South Carolina, right? And we all had to, each in our division, vote for who we wanted to be Miss Congeniality. So my division, pretty much, if not all the girls, most of the girls voted for me. So once I understood that, automatically I felt tons of respect. Like, I felt like I won a respect reward. And at the same time, I felt like I came there for what God called me to do, was to impact the ladies around me. So Miss Congeniality pretty much means you have a pleasing personality. You are a people person. You pleased everybody there. You know, you made a difference while you were there. So that's what I won. And that spoke to me deeply, like spiritually, my soul, my body, everything, because I know that's what God called me to do, is impact people. So for me to win that award, just meeting those girls for not too long and for them to vote that for me, it meant the world. So I know I came there for what I was supposed to do. Even though I went Miss North Carolina, I know, and you told me that too, Eric. You said a win is a win. So, yeah. That's
yes. Yes, because it's all about taking – it's not also not only not settling for the trophy, but, you know, they gave you a trophy that's still a high regard. It ain't second
mm-hmm.
place. It's a high regard based on how you want to position it. Because you could take
mm-hmm.
it and make it like, okay, that's another belt. That's another belt. That's another ring right there. It ain't second place
mm-hmm.
or third place. It got its own identity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. 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 And for it to be my first pageant and to win an award, I take that as a big W for sure. Because a lot of people, they do pageants, they don't win nothing. Like, their first pageant, second pageant, nothing. Third pageant, maybe. Next pageant, I won an award. And I gained, the biggest thing I gained from it besides, you know, the award, blah, blah, blah. Yes, the experience, but the love I got from the Ville, I got so much love. So much love from people. So many people voted for me. They donated. I raised over $500 in donations. I've never done nothing like that before. So
that's
it took
up.
A lot of hard work.
Let's get a round of applause for the Ville right here. Round of applause for the Ville right here, showing Miss Fayetteville some love.
Yeah, big fat. Too good. But yeah, it was an amazing experience. I'm thankful. Very thankful.
That's a beautiful thing. Now, we wrap it up on time. Man, it's crazy. It was almost a full hour already. You might have to come back when you get another trophy.
I'm ready.
But really, though, you go ahead and plug your social media handles and let people know where they can find you.
Bet that. So, yes, thank you, everybody, who was listening. And it's definitely a blessing to be able to share my story. If I impacted one person tonight, amen, it was worth it. And my Instagram is @IAM_ first name, last name, Tierra Fajo, TIAREYJOO, @IAM_Tierra Fajo. On Facebook, you could find my modeling brand, Fajo Modeling, FEYJOO, Face Modeling. And that is my social media. Thank you for having me, Eric, Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all is so lit. I can't wait to see what else y'all have in store for the world.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have a lot in store. And I'm telling the people right now, stay tuned on these moves we're making here. I might start getting that Joe Rogan money on y'all. I need that $100 million deal. So y'all got to stick with me so everybody can eat.
Amen. Period.
But definitely,
thank you, Rick.
We definitely appreciate you joining us. I mean, it was 2 months in the making and trying to get you down. I know you're a busy woman. You got a lot of things, and, you know, you're handling your purpose. But for you to come do it, chop it up, you basically our first model that we had up here.
Oh, wow, that's huge. That's what's up. That is what's up. And y'all
that's
can
why we
had
to make it. There we go. Let me get that T-shirt line out. You'll be the first one we hire.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt. You already know I got y'all. That's a fact.
No doubt. So big shout out to you. We definitely would love to have you back. When I get the full gang on board next time, it's going to be a lit show. We salute you on everything that you're doing positive for the community and for the Carolinas, and we're behind you 110%.
Amen. Thank you, Eric. I can't wait to see more. We're going to do some more business together. You already know that, right?
Oh, you already know. We already know. That's why a lot of the haters are getting mad now.
Good.
Y'all going to really get angry when you see these future moves. So tune in tomorrow night. We're going to have West Coast Cam aboard. We're going to have a lot of other shows going down this October. I'm telling you, I got a packed month with y'all. So stay tuned. Tap in. Follow us on Off the Cuff Radio. Tap in on the YouTube. We done hit 8,000 subscribers. Big salute to us.
Hey.
And the grind don't stop. You too now. I'll hit you up.
Bye, y'all. Peace.